Blog Talk Radio. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. You were listening to He's Working by William Murphy. Amen. I'm taking that as my testimony today. I don't have a seed in the ground, but I have seeds. Hallelujah. That means it's multiple. It's plural. Hallelujah. Seeds in the ground. Amen. I thank God this is my season for grace and favor. Amen. But you have to know how to just speak it to yourself. Amen. Sometimes you don't have anybody to speak that life into you. Amen. So you have to speak it into your own life. Prophesy to yourself. Say, this is my season for grace. This is my season for favor. This is all things is working for my good. The things that I can see and the things that I can't see. Amen. Because he told us in his word, God told us in his word to call those things that's not as though they are. Amen. Amen. We can have anything that we speak with our mouths. All we have to do is believe it. Amen. He that cometh to Christ must first believe that he is. Amen. I bless the Lord today. Once again, we like to say praise the Lord to each and every one of you. We thank you for tuning in to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries, where we are empowering souls for destiny. You might say, how are we empowering souls? Well, every time we come on this radio blog and preach and teach the word of God, you're being empowered. Hallelujah. You're being empowered to pursue your destiny in Christ Jesus. I'm just so happy and excited about what God is doing. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited. Every day he gives me an opportunity to wake up. His mercies are renewed. Hallelujah. Every day I'm excited. Hey, glory to God. Now, that may not happen 24/7, but at some time or another, I get excited, amen, just to be in the land of the living, just an opportunity to know that I can clothe myself, I can see, I can walk, amen. I don't need nobody to bathe me. I'm not in a nursing home. Hey, glory to God. I thank God for the ability, amen, to live and move and have my being. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord today. We are continuing on with our series, The Acts of the Apostles. And the speaker that will be ministering for us today, he is no stranger to New Destiny Ministries. Amen. And even as I begin to look at my stats and look at last year, he participated in this series last year, the Acts of the Apostles, and look how God has graced him to come back and fellowship with us. So to some of you all that have never had the opportunity to meet him, you're in for a treat today. Amen. He don't need an introduction. Amen. But I don't have his bio before me anyway, and I usually just read the bio for our first-time guest. But he's not a guest. I consider him family. Amen. He's been one of my pastors here in the city. Amen. And I just love him and his wife and the members there at Christ Redeeming Center here in Stockton. And that's where I'll be celebrating my relocation, at Dr. Burford's church. Amen. So they embrace me as family, and I feel the same way. Amen. And he's this man of God. He have the love of God in his heart for saints and the people of God, and he's just an encourager. Amen. He believe in applying practical application to simple things that we need to live by, and I appreciate that. So we're going to allow him to come on, and he can open up with the word of prayer, and we're going to give it over into his hands. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 17. And let me just share with you, Pastor Burford is the pastor of Christ Redeeming Center. He is the husband of one wife, Vidal Burford. He is the father of a beautiful daughter and son. And he's also a grandfather. Amen. He is a brother and a son in the gospel. Amen. And I tell you, it gives me great pleasure that he was able to take out of his busy schedule and come and minister the word for us on today. So for some of you all that don't know, we're going to introduce to some and present to others our speaker for the hour, and that's none other than Dr. Kenneth E. Burford, amen, of Christ Redeeming Center here in Stockton, California. God bless you, Dr. Burford.
Well, God bless you also, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. We are so privileged and so blessed to be a part of this great work that you are heading up in this area. And I'm just thankful to be here on today, and I'm thankful to even be chosen to be one of those who could share concerning this awesome documentary, this book, this subject that we're looking at today. So if I can, I'll just go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started on this because I'm hoping to try to finish this chapter on today. So let's
You are
let's,
right.
Let's
Take
just
your
go.
Time, Pastor Burford. Don't rush. Take
okay.
your time. We're not a 60-minute show, so you have about 90 minutes. So take your time and let the Lord speak.
Okay, we'll do that. All right. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your presence. We come before you with humility. We come before you with thanksgiving. We come before you with praises in our heart and praises in our minds and in our mouth. God, we give you the glory for all that you are to the saints. We thank you because you called us to be the body of Christ in the earth realm. We thank you, Father God, for baptizing this body in the Holy Ghost and baptizing this body into Christ. And so, therefore, the Christ, the anointing, is upon us and within us. And, Father God, I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will grant us your heart, that we will think as you do. Grant us your heart that we will love as you do. Grant us your heart that we will even give word as you do. Not from a place of judgment, but from a place of seeking to benefit the lives of men. Father God, I pray today that you will word our mouth, that you would give us what to say and how to say. I pray also, Father God, today that somebody that needs to hear what we say, get on the phone and get on the line right now, that there would be a transformation in their life, in their thinking, in their walk with God, in their personal view, and in their view of Christ and their view of the church. So I pray today, God, orchestrate this hour, orchestrate this time, orchestrate these words so that we can be beneficial, not lifting up our own banner, but lifting up the banner of the King.
Yay.
Not lifting up our own ideals, but lifting up the idea that is in the Word of God. I sincerely lay this prayer before you, Father God, and believe that I shall receive that which is my heart's request and heart's desire. I pray this in Jesus' name, and we say amen, so be it, and it shall be. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Just before I get started, I want to just say that I am not too happy about Evangelist Adrian leaving the area. It does not give me joy, pleasure, or happiness at all, but I know that she is attempting to do the will of God, and she has to answer the call that's in her heart, because it sure is not in mine. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, I support you, Evangelist, in obeying God. I support you in your seeking to do the will of God. It does not mean that we're not going to miss you. We miss you already. Just the idea of you not being in the area causes a lingering in our heart of loss. Hallelujah. But we just thank God for knowing you. We thank God for bringing you across our life. I know that our meeting was not for naught. It was for a purpose. It was for you as well as for me. And I'm just thankful to Jesus for all of his goodness and mercy. Okay, well, I'm going to do my best to put this in a concise time frame, because I've come to understand as a pastor that we as the people of God have a difficult time having a big meal. We can eat a little bit and really enjoy it, But if you give us too much, we will go to sleep and we won't know what we have. So I'm going to try my best to make this concise, and I trust that the Holy Spirit now is prompting those who need to hear it to get on the line and to get with us to hear this word from the Lord. All right, I'm starting now. First off, you have to understand that, yes, I am a pastor, but I also teach in a seminary. I'm the dean of this seminary. I am a student of the Word. I have not obtained, but I am still reaching for all of the things that are in the Word of God. I am understanding little bit by little bit more and more. And so please do not think that I have arrived or that I know it all. But I must say I do know a little bit. Trust me on this journey. As we start this journey in the book of Acts, I am privileged and pleased to understand that in the infinite mind of God, he gave us one history book in the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit as it was originally written. Is the only book within the New Testament, as we call it, that is a book of history. It is not a book of doctrine. It is not a book of correction. It is not a book of teachings. It is a book of history that shows us what transpired and what took place when the church was birthed into the earth realm, and how those who were apostles at that time interacted with the people, how they conducted their lives, how they established churches, what happened to them, what happened to the churches, what happened in the history of mankind. So the book of Acts is the only, if you go to school, you're going to learn this, so I'm not pulling it out of the air. The book of Acts is the only historical or history book. We have books of prophecy. We have the letters or the epistles. We have the gospels. And then we have Acts, which is the book of history, not book of doctrine, not book of teaching. You have that in your Corinthians and in your Galatians, but not Acts. Acts is just a historical account. So having said that, my assignment today is chapter 17. But as I read the first verse, and it says, now when they had passed through, my tongue gets tied on these words. See, I'm a professor, but still I can't pronounce these words. But Amphipolis and Apollonia, it says, now I'm passing through here. I'm passing through. So what do you mean you're passing through? I came to chapter 17 by way of 15 and 16. 15, we're talking about the Apostle Paul and others who are attempting to preach Christ to non-Jewish areas, but Jewish people living in those areas. Because as you know, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, were scattered all around the Mediterranean area, into Greece, into Italy, into what we now call Turkey, which then was called Asia Minor. And these cities that we read in the Bible that we don't even know where they are, like Thessalonica, was in Greece next to Macedonia. There was a Philippi that was in Greece, but also Caesarea Philippi was in Jerusalem, in Israel. That's a different Philippi. And Berea, and even Crete, which is one of the islands out there. So we come to this area by way of 15, where Paul is preaching Christ in an area, but I'm not sure, my brothers and sisters, I'm not sure if we would be able to even hang with Paul, let alone be Paul of his area. Why do I say that? Because of this. Paul was preaching Christ. But Paul came out of a major, if I can say it like this, a major denomination that thought that they were the only arm and the only cord to God himself. Paul came from a religious group of people called the Jews, and even a subculture of that called the Pharisees, who believed and thought that they had direct connection to God. And like I heard one of my precious brothers say, they had 90% of the truth on their side. And so this Paul, who was preaching Christ, had to contend with this religious group of people who were consistently upbraiding and uprooting and stirring up people. Every time he was to preach Christ, they would bring in religion. Every time he would preach Christ, they were bringing up denomination. Every time he would preach Christ, they would bring up tradition. So much and so that in chapter 15, one of the men that Paul took with him, Timothy, had to be circumcised, because somehow or another these Jewish religious denominational people found out that this man is not conforming to our traditions. This man is not conforming to how we do things in our religious order and in our denominational order. So to keep down some of the strife and some of the confusion and some of the riotous things that was going on, Paul had to have this brother circumcised. And so we see that there were some powerful salvations that went on, powerful things that were going on, but because of the climate, the political climate of that area and the political climate of that time, Paul had been beaten. Because these Jewish people, because this religious group, because this denominational group was stirring up people, it wasn't so much the political, it was them religious folks who said, you ain't like us, so therefore something wrong with you, who stirred up the people, had Paul put in jail, Paul being beaten, but the Christians that were there did not want Paul to be killed or murdered, so they sent him away. They sent him away to save his life. Now we are at chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, which is a city in Greece, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, at his custom, as his custom was, went to them for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and raise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. This Jesus that I preach to you is the Christ. This is what he was preaching. This is what he was pushing. He was pushing Jesus Christ. He was not pushing any other religious dogma, doctrine, teaching, law, or any such thing as that. But you have to remember the religious and political climate. We're talking about Thessalonica, which is in Greece, which by at this time was a province, or if you would, a state or country of the Roman Empire. Rome had taken over all of that part of the world, and that part of the world was being dominated by the Roman government, but yet still religiously, spiritually, they were still dominated by Greece. What do you mean by that? The Greek gods, the Greek way of thinking, was converted over to the Roman gods and the Roman way of thinking. So we're dealing with people who were still very captivated, if you will, by the idea of Zeus, of Poseidon, of Hades, of Venus, of Aphrodite, and all these other gods that people worshipped and had connections with, even the Jews. But let's go further. This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. So we see here in the first part chapter 17, that Paul had an influence over some leading ladies of the area and a great number of devout Greeks of the area. Now, this is something that was very phenomenal, because the Greeks were very, very strong in philosophy, and they were very strong in their religious connection to Alexander, not only Alexander, but all the gods that had been created during Alexander's reign, and even the Romans, because, like I told you earlier, the Romans and the Greeks joined their gods together. They may have given them different names, but they're the same people. The same people, Zeus, Hades, Poseidon, Cronus, Venus, Aphrodite, all those people, the same gods. And the gods of their day had very much human characteristics. They killed, they raped, they murdered, they died. They even came back again in another shape, in another form, not like Jesus, but they would come back as an animal or a bird or whatever. So let's go to verse 5. But the Jews who were not persuaded, see, here we go. Religion is a killer, I'm telling you. Religion and denomination. The Jews who were in Greece, who were not persuaded, became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, because they... You know, Paul went there to be with him and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the cities, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. And verse 7 says, Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there's another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and rulers of the city when they had heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Now, what did I just say? Because I went through it kind of fast. These Jewish people who were still very much law abiders, I'll put it that way, they still believed that you could not be saved unless you followed the law of Moses and all the traditions and all the Sabbaths and all of the rituals and rites that went along with the law of Moses. If you were to be a Christian, in their minds, you had to follow all of the law. And anybody who preached anything other than that, they didn't just disagree. They went in pursuit of you to disturb anything that you were preaching. And so this is exactly what was happening with my brother, your brother, the Apostle Paul. And when Paul even went to Jason's house, they came there, snatched him out of his household, took him before the magistrates of the city, and they were about to do damage to him. But when you look in verse 9, we see, number one, the brother Jason must have had some money. He must have had a nickel or a dime, because in verse number 9, we see where it says in the King James, it says, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. What does that mean? They made Jason pay big-time bail money to promise that Paul was not coming back into that area. Jason and his household or his family had to pay major bail. That's what that security was. They paid money to the magistrates to swear that Paul would not come back to their house or their area because they didn't want him there. And now we're not so much talking about the people, the Grecian people. We're talking about the religious people. They didn't want him there, so they're the ones who stirred up the town. And let's go to verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So here those believing Greeks were trying to protect the life of Paul and protect the life of Silas. And so they hid Paul. They might not have found him in Jason's house, but they hid him. And then when night came, they wanted to send Paul away to save his life. So the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogues of the Jews. Now, and this is one thing that I would have difficulty with. You know, I'm being persecuted by this religious group. Yes, they are my kinsmen. Yes, I come from that stock. Yes, I come out of that church. Yes, I came out of that denomination. But Paul consistently went back to the same group of people that he came from to teach them and to share with them Christ, the Messiah, the Jesus that they were or took part in crucifying, to teach to them that he, Jesus, was the Christ of God, the anointed one of God. He, Jesus, was the Lord, the Son of God. He consistently went back to these areas, back to these the people, the same people that persecuted him, to share with them the knowledge of this Son of God. Verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Let me read that to you out of the King James. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so. What are you saying here? Well, when Paul went into the area of Thessalonica, the believers there did not react like the believers that were in Amphipolis and Apollonia. Those people listened to the religious group. Those people in Amphipolis and Apollonia listened to the cries of the religious organization and the denominational organization saying that these people cannot truly be saved unless they do what the law said do. Those people didn't question. They just kind of joined the bandwagon and created an uproar in the city. But these people in Thessalonica they weren't swayed that way. They started saying, okay, let's go into the word and see if what this man is saying is so. So that's how we have verse 11 that says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so. Yes. So now we're on verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks. So the many of them were the Jewish people in that area. Now, remember, we're talking Greece, not Israel. We're in Greece. It's across the water. Many of the Jews believed, and not a few of the Greeks. In other words, there was quite a few Greeks. Prominent women as well as men. Saints, don't you know we need to make appeal to people who got money as well as poor folks? Because if we have a church full of people who do not have economic status, we cannot grow the ministry and work the ministry. But if our gospel is only preached to those who are economically challenged, we will never be able to do the thing that God has called us to do. Therefore, we must learn the language of the people that we need to have in our ministries. Ooh. I'm going to say that one more time. You need to learn the language of the wealthy. You need to learn the language of the businessman. You need to learn the language of the realtor. You need to learn the language of the banker so that you would be able to present Christ to them in a manner and in a way that they can receive also, as well as telling the poor down and outer that he'll be your mother and he'll be your father, he'll be your sister, and he'll be your brother. They might need to hear that, but the banker don't need to hear that. So you need to be able to tell the banker or what he needs to know. Now, in case you don't agree with what I just said, follow me in these scriptures and you'll find out that's exactly what Paul did. All right? Let's look at verse 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. I'm telling you, All we need to hear is Jesus. Let me tell you something that we learned in school, and we should learn by reading, but because we're so influenced by our religion and denomination, we don't hear it. But the apostles' job was to interpret the gospel of Christ. Christ preached a message. The apostles took that message, interpreted that message, and presented it to people of various areas and people of various regions that were not exactly Israelites, but they had to present this gospel to people who were not exactly Jews. So the apostles basically were interpreters of the gospel of Christ. They had to present Christ in a way that others who were not traditionally Jews could understand. It's kind of like where my sister is going down there in what I would call Louisiana. They don't call it Louisiana. They call it Louisiana and New Orleans. But me being a Californian, I don't and cannot conceive how they culturally accept, speak, eat, live, because we live different. So when I go there, I cannot present Christ as a Hollywood Christian, because folks in New Orleans won't understand Hollywood Christianity, even though Christ is in Hollywood. I have to figure out how to speak New Orleans and how to incorporate Christ within the culture of the place where I am going to present him. I hope you understood what I just said. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Paul did it. And if you're going to understand the history of the book of Acts, then you have to understand this is what Paul did. Paul didn't go down there preaching baptism. Paul went there preaching Christ. And we see how things went along. So verse 13 again. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there and stirred up the crowds. Forgive that noise that you hear. Folks are trying to contact me, but they're on hold. They stirred up the crowd. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away. Y'all just sent me here. You sneaked me out at night to save my life. I'm trying to preach Jesus. And here come my religious brethren again telling me I ain't fully saved because I'm not doing what they do. Again. And so the people had to send Paul away again. What? They tried to spare his life. And immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. So they sent Paul away. Silas and Timotheus or Timothy remained in the Thessalonica area. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, another city in Greece, lower part in the south. And receiving a command from Silas and for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So they sent Paul to Athens, but Paul was in Athens, and while he was there, he, so to speak, mailed a letter or had it sent back to tell Timothy and Silas, I need y'all here with me in the quickness. I need y'all here. I need you with me. Okay, that's another story, but let's keep going. Verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Now remember, I told you, this is Greece. They didn't have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had Zeus, Kronos, Hades, Poseidon, Aphrodite, and many, 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 many other gods that were human-like and did what humans did. They killed, they ate, they died, they married, they did all kinds of things. This was their gods, and this is how they lived. You can't fault them for their culture. That's what they had. That's all they knew. But Paul was in the midst of this idolatrous city. Verse 17, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews. So there was a Jewish congregation, if you will, in that city. And therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. My brothers and my sisters, if we look at how Paul presented the gospel, it was not only in the gathering place of the saints. He went to the marketplace. The marketplace is where the people were. The marketplace was where the thinkers were. The marketplace was where exchange, not only of goods, but of minds were. And it really, really, I'm going to be nice and say, it really, really troubles me that our testimonies are basically to each other. We will get in church and long for testimony service. Well, I already know you're saved because you told me last Sunday you were saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. So I didn't think nothing happened between that Sunday and this. You probably still are. Or we love to shout and tell each other how good God is, and we feel comfortable. You feel safe in doing that. But how can you tell the people downtown about the goodness of God? Because you can't shout and holler and scream and run around the store to tell them. You're going to have to figure out another way to present this Jesus to people outside the comfortability of a church setting. But we ain't figured that out yet, have we? We will shout and run around the church and tell each other how good God is. And when you go downtown, all they see is you dress funny. Your hair's up in the bun. You got on a jean skirt. And you're looking kind of bland. They know that. But they don't know about the Jesus that you serve because you won't say a word. But we look at Paul, who, when he was in the midst of idolatry, people who didn't really know the Jesus that he did, he went to the marketplace. He went where the Gentiles worshipped, and he went where the Jews were, who were influenced by all of this. Don't tell me that this Jewish people who were living in Athens, a city that was given over to all kinds of gods, were not influenced by their area. They were. Let's look at verse 18. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of some foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine of is of which you speak. Now, let me back up just a little bit. The last part of verse 18, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Let me see if I can help it make sense to you out of King James. The certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoic encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Us today, and I'm sure those who are listening to this blog talk radio show today are so used to hearing and preaching of the resurrection, we fail to understand history and church history. The notion of resurrection, the very thought or notion of that, was repulsive to any religious group of that time. Because the prevailing thought process of that day, even though they had all these gods, the prevailing thought process of that day was influenced by the Gnostics. And the Gnostics believed all material matter, including the flesh, was evil and non-profitable. So they'd made for two schools. One school that said it matters not at all what you do with your physical body because it is non-profitable anyway. The only thing that you need to do is to enlighten your spirit. The other school said you had to consistently suppress every part of your human proclivities. Every part of your humanity has to be suppressed, subdued, because the only way to true spirituality is enlightenment in the knowledge. You have to know. You have to have knowledge. You have to know. In fact, Gnostic means to know. So resurrection to them was repulsive because you're saying that a flesh man went on a cross, which, by the way, was capital punishment, which means he must have did something wrong. How can I serve somebody who was crucified on the cross? That is repulsive. That's an idea that I just cannot understand. You're serving a person who was crucified on a cross, and then you say he rose from the dead in bodily form? Oh, we can understand how the Greek gods rose back as a half bull or as a half bird, but we cannot understand a man coming back in the form of a man. That was a repulsive religious idea to those people. But we look at it and say, yeah, Paul was preaching the resurrection. Hallelujah. Whew. Paul was catching flack for that because everybody thought that was the most repulsive, abominational thing that you could ever be preaching. All right, let's go on. They took him to a place kind of like, we have what we call today places where poets can go and speak their poetry to music. I forget exactly what you call them, but they're places where people can speak their poetry, and people gather around, and they have their beverages and the music playing, and you can do your poetry. So this was kind of a place like that where Paul could go and talk about his belief because they was all interested in new stuff anyway. So verse 20 says, "For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears, therefore we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear about something new." So verse 22 starts us off. Praise the Lord, I just hit the wrong button on my little thingy here, but thank God I got my Bible sitting right next to me, so I don't have to worry about that. In verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found at an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you.'" Okay, I'm back. "Him I declare unto you." So, this is what I prescribe to all of those who are practitioners of the word, in other words, preachers, evangelists, teachers, whatever you want to call yourselves, and whatever you believe God has called you unto. Let us not be afraid or ashamed to take the gospel of Christ to platforms outside of our local assemblies. But as we do, let us not take this gospel there as a judgment against the people who you're taking it to. Otherwise, you're going to cause a friction. You're going to cause a division. You're going to cause a distraction to the gospel because you're bringing judgment with you. What we need to do is bring this Christ to them and tell them of this anointing, of this freedom, of this deliverance, of this way that Christ has given unto us that causes us to be sons of God, and joint heirs with Christ, that lifts us from the pillaging depravity of the nature and system of sin that's in the world, and sets us free from sin's condemnation, and sets us free from sin's stronghold, and sets us free from this system and judgment of sin, and places us in the righteousness of God. There's a way to present that, and this is what Paul was doing. In verse 24, it says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. In other words, Paul was telling him that you are Grecians living in this area because God preordained it that you live there. Everybody can't live in Jerusalem. Everybody can't live in Memphis. Everybody can't live in Los Angeles. Everybody can't live in that town where the Assemblies of God Church is situated. I'm trying to think of that town in Illinois. I think it's there. Everybody can't be there. Everybody can't be in Memphis. But wherever you are, God has preordained for you to be there. And out of one blood, he created all nations. And as we continue, he said, in determined appointed times and places and boundaries to dwell. Verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. What are you saying, Paul? Paul is saying all of us are reaching after God. All of us are in the search for him. This is a thing that we don't realize in Christendom, and I know that some people are really, really not going to like me, but, you know, I don't see you and you don't see me, so hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But I grew up believing, and you all forgive me, but this is how I grew up, that all Baptists was going to hell, all of them. There was no way in the world Baptist folks could go to hell because they ain't saved. They don't speak in tongues. They don't shout. They don't do what we do. And then for the brief period of time that I was in another particular denomination, I was told that everybody else is going to hell because they don't baptize the way we do. They don't believe in the God that we believe in, so everybody going to hell but us. And then there was another particular group that I was with that said that, shoot, you can't join this church. You got to be born into it because that's the only way you're going to get in. And ain't nobody like us because God gave it all to our apostles. But here this Apostle Paul is saying everybody is stretching after, everybody is groping for, everybody is reaching for God. They might not know what they're reaching for, but they're reaching, which means it becomes our responsibility to tell them what they're reaching for and how to reach him that they're reaching for. They may not know of the liberating power of Christ the way that you do. But we don't go and tell them you're going to hell. We teach to them Christ from the heart of Christ. And look at what Paul did. I think some of us in our religious churches today would kick Paul out for making this statement. In verse 28, Paul makes this statement. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. What did you just say, Paul? Paul took a philosophical phrase from a man who lived in Crete, C-R-E-T-E, the island out there in the middle of the Mediterranean, He was a poet by the name of Epaminondas. You can find it in your own studies of the Bible. It's not something off the internet. He was not a Jew. He was not a Judaizer. He was not a Christian. He was a heathen. And this heathen, in his groping after God, made this statement, which Paul gave back to these people who was groping, and said, even your own poets say, in him we live, we move, and have our being. What are you saying, Pastor Ken? I'm saying, as we've learned, number one, that if it's the truth, it's the God's truth. And all truth is the God's truth. And what we have to learn to do is take that same truth that they're using in a philosophical way and present it to these people who don't know what they're reaching for and show them its connection to Christ. Because 9 3/4 times out of 10, these foreign religions are going to borrow some sayings from Jesus and from the Bible. But the Bible or Jesus never borrows phrases from them. So we need to tell them where you got that phrase from, bro. You got that phrase from God. And the God that we serve is manifested flesh man Jesus. And we bring it full circle. So Paul took what this Greek Epaminondas, this Greek poet, said and represented it to them. And in verse 29, he says, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now command all men everywhere to repent. So he's saying, now, there was a time when y'all was out there and, you know, you didn't know no better, and you was associating God with something that you made. You was associating God with the elements of nature. He let you by with that for a while. But the fullness of time has come. What do you mean? Christ has come, fulfiller of all things. Now he's demanding that you turn from those things. And now you must, by his grace, receive the answer to your questions. And that answer is Jesus the Christ. Because, verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Wait a minute. You're bringing me back there again. Yes. These people did not understand resurrection. They thought it was a horrible, notion and idea. But the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential to the faith of the believer. We believe by scripture, not by just some blind belief, that God raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand. We believe not by some blind faith, but by the word of God, that even Jesus prophesied it and the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied it, that this Jesus had to go into the lower parts of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights as the ultimate payment and sacrifice for the nature of sin, for the condemnation of sin, for the payment of sin. That's why Jesus is our Redeemer. He paid for it. He paid for the price of for the penalty of sin, and sin is not an object. I preach that in my church all the time. Sin is not a pack of cigarettes. Sin is not a bottle of wine. Sin is not an adulterous act. But sin is a spiritual condition. Sin is a system that has infiltrated itself within the fabric of humanity that works in the weaknesses of our flesh. Our flesh is weak now because it's uncovered. What do you mean uncovered? Well, Adam was clothed in the glory of God, but when the glory was lifted, it left us uncovered, and sin attacked that which was natural in me to pervert that which is natural in me and make it outside of the will of God so that I would constantly fall beneath what God's highest desire and will for me is. So it is a system that is constantly trying to affect my uncovered flesh. But once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and baptized into Christ, you are dipped in and you are filled with, so that you now have a covering again. And now that I'm covered again, the glory of the Lord is not only in me, but it's also on me. And I am totally covered, so therefore I do not live by every inclination of the flesh or the pull of the flesh. Why do you say that? Because the system of sin is still in the world, and the system of sin is still pulling upon our flesh. But we do not have to live by it, because there is another power source that's working on the inside of me. It is the power of the Holy Spirit brought on and given to us by the workings and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore I have conquered the nature of sin, even in my flesh. How can you say that? Because Christ came in human flesh, and he condemned sin in flesh so that we could be called the righteousness of God. And so condemnation to sin has already been dealt with. Now I have to learn that Jesus don't do it. The ability to do it is now resident in me. Jesus ain't coming down here and make you do better. You got to understand that the power of the Holy Ghost is in you to do better, and you need to take responsibility and do better, because do better is in you. And so as we're closing out this chapter, sorry for getting off the track, as we close out this chapter in verse 32, and when they, I'm back at King James Version, and when they had heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. And so as we're looking at chapter 17, and I'm stopping and closing right here, we see the life of this apostle that was on a constant conflict. He had conflict with his religious group that he came from, that was following him everywhere, stirring up people against the gospel of Christ that he preached. He had conflict with the political realm, with the religious realm, that he had to deal with people who did not understand this Christ. Remember, Paul was a Jew too. Remember, Paul had to readjust himself culturally to present Christ to a culture that didn't understand who Jesus was or his purpose for being or why he had to be virgin born or why he had to die. That culture didn't understand that. So this Paul had to present Christ in a way and in a manner that these people could understand who he was. And he, Paul, was successful at it, even though there was great conflict, even though he was beaten, put in jail, left alone without his companions, snuck out of cities more than once for his own life, but yet and still he was faithful to his belief. And I'm telling you, if Paul did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, I guarantee you he would not consistently put his life in harm's way. But he believed it, and if Paul believed it, therefore I believe it. And if I believe it, then I'm going to preach the same thing in the same way that Paul preached. I'm going to take this gospel of Christ, not my gospel of my denomination or the gospel of my tradition to the world, but I'm going to take this gospel of Christ to the mall, to my job, to the banker, to the folks that I talk to on the streets in my neighborhood. Not by my clothes, not by my only wearing a white shirt, but by my knowledge of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in me that transforms everything that I touch. Yes, it does. God's power in you is no less than it was in Jesus. It's just that our religion teaches us that we can't be like him. We're trying to, but it was Jesus. No, Jesus was a man. The Bible, I love Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It didn't even say Christ. It said Jesus, which represented his humanity. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed Tyrone of Lathrop. God anointed Jesse of Stockton. God anointed Cynthia of Elk Grove with the Holy Ghost and with power. And they go around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil because God is with them. God is with us. And we have the responsibility to share this gospel of Christ, the anointed one, to all the world, even to those who are philosophical, to those in the marketplace, to those who are influenced by religion and tradition. Preach Christ. It's going to cost you. I'm paying a price right now, believe you me. It's going to cost you, but are you willing to pay the price to preach Christ, or are you just going to slide down the slide and stay on with your traditions, your religion, and your denomination because it's easier, and yell and scream and testify to each other in a comfortable church setting, but your mouth is closed because you don't know how to talk to the people in the marketplace? They're not going to understand your speaking in tongues, but do you know how to convey Christ to those who are groping for him, but they just don't know who they're reaching for? I think all of what I'm saying here is a backdrop of Acts 17 as we view the history of this man as a missionary to the unchurched part of the world. I trust you got something out of this. I trust it wasn't too academic for you, but I'm not going to apologize for that because you needed to hear the academic side. I do speak with tongues. I can say like Paul. I might not speak in tongues more than you all, but I speak in tongues. I believe in the dance. I believe in the praises and the high praises of God. But after all of that, what do you know in the Word of God? What is it that you can use in your everyday life that's going to touch people who don't dance like you do, who never going to wear a jean skirt, who's never only going to wear a white shirt to church, or their hair might not be fixed like yours? How do you present Christ to those who are reaching and groping but don't exactly know who they're reaching and groping for? Do you know enough about stuff in the world to be able to use the stuff that's in the world to help them to understand all of that is talking about Jesus? That's what Paul did. So as I close today, I just want to say thank you again to my precious sister. I love her so much. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. I hope I didn't make anybody mad. I hope y'all believe I'm still saved. And if you don't think I'm saved, I know I am. Hallelujah. And so God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you when we get to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelist.
Okay. please. Evangelist Bernard, her line is open. Dr. Bertha. Evangelist?
Hello. Glory to God. Amen.
Hello? Okay.
Praise the Lord, Dr. Burford. Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Nothing else we can say to this. Y'all excuse me for a minute.
I love question and answer because it draws and pulls more things out of me. But, you know,
yes.
Who am I speaking with?
You're
I hear another voice. Sister who?
I said, Sister. On the switchboard, Evangelist Bernard didn't hear or something was wrong, and I said I was calling.
Oh,
okay, God bless.
Okay, okay.
He's back
yes,
on now. I
yes.
think Evangelist Bernard.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Yes,
praise
I
Lord.
Was just
it's
saying I encourage
good.
Questions because without questions, we won't be able to see this gospel from a different perspective. And to all the listeners that are out there, I want you to know I was born and raised in church. I'm telling you, I've been in church ever since I was born. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I was born in the Church of God in Christ, lived with my grandmother who was PA of W. I got baptized when I was 9 in PA of W. I stayed with her for almost 4 years in the PA of W church. So I know what it is to be a staunch believer in the one God and the baptism. Hallelujah, Jesus, glory to God. And then I was also a part, not because I was a church runner, but I also was part of Deliverance Center and there in Oakland, California, 73rd and East 14th Street. But all of those points and stations in my life were things that God ordained so that he could season me for this particular time. Because every one of those stations in my life said that everybody else was going to hell. Every one of them stations. And so I'm coming to understand by my study in the Word of God that if we get a dictionary, not a Webster's, but, you know, a dictionary of the Greek or the Hebrew word, and understand the text, the context, and the definition of words, we will come to the conclusion that some of this stuff that we're doing in the name of Jesus and in the name of the church is totally out of the realm of the heart of God. It is more so in the realm of our religious denomination and tradition, but it's out of the realm of God's heart and God's intent. So that's why I really, really appreciate what Paul did in chapter 17 in taking this Crete poet and using the poetry and philosophy of a non-Jewish, non-Christian man and presenting that same thing to these people and then letting them know that even though you say in him we live and move and have our being, it's still a true statement. It's still a true statement.
Amen, amen. We're going to open up lines if you all have any questions or any concerns that you would like address, you can do so at this time. Sister Ruby's going to open up the line again. I thank Pastor Bertha for coming on, sharing this series with us. We're winding on now, 28 chapters, and this was chapter 17. Amen. Tomorrow, Minister Democrat will be teaching on 18, and then on Friday, Pastor Hamilton will be with us for Provoke Fridays. So, Sister Ruby, if you can open up the lines for our listeners, we certainly appreciate you, Dr. Burford. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm always receiving something from God every day. Every day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to, Prophetess Darlene Davis.
Glory to
bless
God.
The Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Good afternoon. Hallelujah. I just thank God for the word on today. I thank God for the great teaching. I have no questions. You answered everything. I just thank God for you. God bless you. Continue to be encouraged and continue to be blessed. And let God continue to lead you and use you to teach the people. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Prophet Michael Davis.
Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. I heard the word of the Lord that says, God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. God don't have no dead children. Everybody that God gave birth to, not only do they have his spirit, but they have power in the Holy Ghost. Hello, somebody. I don't know about you guys, but I know one thing. God is alive, and he's not dead. Hello, somebody. Now watch this. Now watch this. Something was said regarding sin is not in the act, but I want to refer to the Apostle James. He said that him that knoweth to do right and do it not, to him is sin. If you commit the act of adultery, you're going to hell. I'm going to tell you straight out, because no adulterers, no fornicators going to make it into God's kingdom. God is holy, and he said, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's why a lot of these churches in America are living in sin, and the congregation is in sin, because don't nobody have the power to cast the devil out. And if the devil is not being cast out, then he's in. He's either in or he's out. But somebody got to cast him out in the name of Jesus. My God. And saints of God, we got to remember that God became a man. He was fully man and fully God at the same time. His blood was not of this world. His blood didn't come from the earth. His blood came from the Father. My God, from heaven. That's why he couldn't stay in the ground. Glory to God. Because his body didn't even come from the earth. His body was not made from the dust of the ground. His body was created by the living word of God. You can't kill him. He said, I lay down my life. And if I lay it down, I pick it up again. So Jesus didn't come from the earth. He came from heaven. My God, he wasn't born of flesh and blood. He was born by the Holy Ghost. God from heaven. That's what I'm talking about. That's why he preached the resurrection. Because God came to earth to become a man, and he could not die. He showed that he had power over death, over hell, and over the grave. To prove that he was God. That's the only way you could prove that God is God, because he has power over what's called the final enemy, which is death. That's why he saved it for last. He said, I'm finna conquer death now. I'm finna show you something. I'm finna step down into the realms of time. I'm finna walk amongst my people that I created. I'm gonna take a body and look like them, and I'm gonna lay it down so they'll think that I'm dead. But he said, no man take my life. I lay it down. And then he picked it up again. That's the resurrection. Why? To prove that he's got power over death. Glory to God. And that's the only way that we can have eternal life. He had to shed his blood, which came from where? Heaven. It came from heaven. It was the perfect sacrifice. That's why we're saved. That's why we're saved. It was because of his blood.
Get you next week, Prophet Davis.
Okay. Just one more. Okay, I'm sorry. Just the Holy Ghost. I mean, come on, y'all. The Holy Ghost.
Right there, you was all the way there.
The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I got one more thing. One final thing. Evangelist, I'm not being disobedient. I'm going to take 30 seconds. 30 seconds, and I'm done.
Okay.
And I believe this is profitable for everybody. It's over in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The whole book, not just one book, all the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation is for doctrine, and it's profitable. Hello, somebody. I'm done. I'm out of here like Kirk Gowdy. See, I come into this thing, I come swinging hard. Why? Because I serve a God that got all power. I don't back down for nobody. I come with all power because I got heaven backing me up.
Holiness is right. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Okay.
Evangelist.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Is Evangelist Bernard?
Yeah, I hear you, Dr. Kenneth.
If I could just make one statement, and that's
yeah.
it.
Go right ahead, Pastor Burford.
My approach, even everywhere I go, is not that a person cannot sin in the flesh. My approach is, what's making you do it?
Mm.
And the what's behind it and what's making you is the system of sin. That's
all
what
right.
causes people to do what they do is the what's behind it. What's making you do that? And so that's the part that we approach. If we can get ourselves to understand we're in Christ and Christ is in us, then you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
All right.
But if a person don't understand that Christ is in you, but I have to work it, I have to do it, it's a work that I have to produce out of myself, then you're going to always come up failing because the flesh won't let you win. But you have to understand what is it that's causing this to happen. And Paul made this statement after he said, "O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the power of this death?" He said,
yes.
"I thank my God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So
mm-hmm.
it is through Jesus, the lordship of Jesus. These words are not meant to be words that are saying he's, of his royalty, but it's meant to be saying he is Lord, owner, ruler, master.
Mm-hmm.
So when Paul made the statement that who shall deliver me from the body of this death, then he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus has to become owner, ruler, master, the Lord. Otherwise, we're going to be floundering around here like a fish out of water. But once he becomes Lord and your spirit is submitted to Christ, then these areas of the pull of the flesh will come under the dominance of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And I am totally in agreement with my brother. It's just that I can't say like he say in the marketplace. I can say that in church. I wasn't laughing to be facetious. I was laughing because, it reminds me, how can I take that and take it to the mall? I can't.
All right.
I have to be able to take talk and conversation to the mall. I can't take that to the mall. So out there is where they need to know this Christ that they're groping for. Because they're groping for whom they know not. But we know him. And so we have to take their language and present Christ to them.
All right.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah. We're going to
I tell you, God is doing something. If you all not getting anything, shame on you. I am. Sister Ruby, we can continue on.
Okay, Sister T. Okay. Mother Charity.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord.
Amen.
Praise him, Mother.
Yes, I certainly have enjoyed, amen, the brother on here that brought forth the words of God. And the thing about it is that I agree with what he had to say about it, because even like you said, at the time that Apostle Paul was when he had said that, wretched man that I am,
mm-hmm.
who shall deliver me
from this body of death? Mm-hmm.
It was because he could not control what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't control what was going on in our life before the Lord met us.
That's right.
We met the Lord. Amen. We didn't have no control either. Praise the
mm-hmm.
Lord. And so that just let you to know that was before Apostle Paul met the Lord. He did not have the Lord in his life until the very fact that he was going down to Damascus with curses on his lips.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I tell you, until he met the Lord. And after that, then that's when his real life began. And you can see what a trooper that he was when he had the Lord in his life. He couldn't do enough for the church. and for the
Jesus
Lord.
The greatest.
I mean, it's a beautiful picture, amen. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then that causes us to think where we was at before the Lord met us. All of the things that we was doing, we was wretched and undone.
Mm. Yeah.
We had no strength whatsoever. Praise God. So we just thank God, amen, for his great salvation today. And I thank the Lord for this elder that brought forth the word today. And his name, what's his name, is it Burtman?
Burford. Mm-hmm.
Berkeley.
Burford. F-O-R-D. F-O-R-D. Ford. Burford.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Burford.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Burford. Okay. Thank the Lord.
Yes,
amen.
Ma'am.
Well, God
amen.
Bless you all, and y'all have a blessed day now. Amen.
Thank you. God bless you,
Mother.
God bless.
Minister Democrat.
Amen, amen, amen. I enjoyed, amen, that teaching. Amen. I just got a question out there. I wondered, amen, amen, for the pastor and whatnot. I always wondered this every time I read this, and I just want, you know, his opinion on it. Why do you think that Paul, every time he went into a city, he went to the synagogue first where the Jews was at, and they was hating on Paul and whatnot because he always had to get past that that history, that Pentateuch. For it seemed like it would have been easier to go to the Gentiles because he didn't have to go through all that stuff. And I just wonder why you think that Paul, every time he got into a city, like, where the synagogue at? I got to get to the synagogue first. And they teach them Jews. Like, why do you think he took that route instead of, like, amen, just going to the Gentiles first?
My brother, I believe Paul answered that question himself when he made the statement that he wished above all things that Israel might be saved.
Mm. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Paul was a Jew. Paul knew that Jesus was a Jew. I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to be teasing, but Jesus was a Jew. Born under the law. Born of a virgin. His flesh. He had flesh and blood. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he wished and prayed above all things that Israel might be saved.
Yes,
and
sir.
So his heart was for his people and for the religious group that he came out of. And let me say this really, really quickly, really, really quickly. Because I'm a dean at this school and we're teaching, and so I'm telling you from an academic standpoint, the Pharisees was created out of the time of the Babylonian exile. When they was in Babylon, everybody forgot the language, they forgot the law, they forgot how to even pronounce God's name. But after they were released and Nehemiah built the wall and they started, you know, regrouping back in Israel, they began to say, we have to have a group of people who's going to teach us how this law thing works. Somebody got to put it together. Somebody got to help us. We can't read it.
All right.
And so the Pharisaical group was created out of that. It didn't start bad. It started good. And so the Pharisees were the one who taught law, scripture, spiritual things. The Sadducees didn't believe in those spirits. They just believed in the five books of Moses, and that's it.
Right.
And then there was other groups. There was four groups. But the my point in saying all that was, Paul really, really, really wanted to save the group that he came out of. That's why he always went there first.
Thank you, Lord.
But they always came back against him with all kind of religious stuff. You can't be saved unless you la, 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 la.
Wow. Amen.
That's why he had to, circumcise a grown man. Timothy was a grown man. Can you imagine, my brother, excuse me, my sisters, but can you imagine a grown man being circumcised?
Yeah.
And who in the world found out he needed to be circumcised? Who was looking?
And how did they find out? Heck,
how did they find out? So he had to do all that religious stuff. Just for his religious group, he said, you can't be saved unless you do this.
My Lord, my Lord.
I'm through. I hope I answered your question, though.
Amen. I was just wondering why he kept going in there when he's hating on him at. But like you said, you love something. Amen to God, yes. like witnessing to your family. You keep going to them because you want
wish,
to be saved. So I get
that.
That
Israel
I
might
I
be
can
saved.
See that. Amen.
Amen.
Israel might be saved.
Okay,
thank
you. Are you finished? Or
somebody
okay,
said, are you done, liberal?
Amen. 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 Thank God for that. That was good teaching.
Okay, God bless.
Amen.
We're going to,
yes.
I think, call this number again. Number that we're not familiar with. Area code 352-5894.
352-5894.
Okay, I think
we're going to
stop one day. I'm looking out. This is Sister Stacy out of Florida.
Oh, Sister Stacy.
Well, you got to
bless you.
Okay, Sister Stacy, praise the Lord. All right.
I'm blessed, you all. I just thank God for the teaching, Pastor Burford. It's so good to hear your voice. And I just agree with you that that we have to understand the language of the people. And just like Paul encountered different cultures and things at that time, we also the same. And I just think that that we need to learn more. That we have to that we have to understand that we're going to people who are not in church like we are. They can't say amen yet until they know what to say amen about. So I first got
saved.
Right. Can't jump.
That's not how they talk.
Amen. I can't do it. I even want to hear the word before I say amen. So I thank you for that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, amen, Sister Stacy. Thank the Lord in that new number. I think we got everybody. Let me go back to Sister T one more time. Sister T? Sister T? Okay. That's about everybody that had come on the broadcast that stayed on.
Amen. We're going to go to Houston, Scooby, for your final remarks, and then we're going to go back to Pastor Burford and thank him again and let him have his final remarks. And we truly thank God for him. As he was talking, I thought about, you know, sometimes my family members would say, you can't do this, you can't do this. Ooh, what kind of church you in? What can you do? Amen. So you can do something, you can live holy. So that's
yes,
all
ma'am.
I have to do. Live holy. Because the Bible says holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. So it ain't about
amen.
What denomination you are, or are you living anything? Because I done seen
amen.
some of us, you know, clothed up, head covered, and everything covered. Amen. And a mean as a rattlesnake. Ain't going to help nobody. Amen. It's all about therefore and no more. So I just bless the Lord, and I thank God for just having the opportunity to come into this marvelous light. And truly, our light has to shine where we can be an example to the world, not to one another. I heard Dr. Burford say, you know, we're testifying and we're preaching and teaching to one another. But when are we going to come outside of the four walls? When are
amen.
We going to go to where the people are and be
amen.
A true witness, an effective witness? So, hey, I enjoyed that word today. Sister Ruby, then back to Dr. Burford.
Okay, well, praise the Lord, everybody. The word was a blessing. Dr. Burford, Kenny Burford, I agree with you as far as shouting and hollering and sitting in the church and teaching and witnessing to each other. You can't go out screaming, but the people need to be taught, too. I've always been an outreach person. I've always been over outreach, and I make a witness manual. You know, you got to start structuring people in the body once they come in to know how to go forth and sheep beget sheep. And another thing I was doing as the Lord led me, I've done it for years. I've been on that sidewalk. As you go forth, you need to let the people that's in everybody congregation, as a pastor, if you're doing it or not doing it, that we need to let them know what other religions believe. The Muslims, the Baptists, the Jewish people that haven't received Jesus Christ yet. So we need to set up seminars so that people can be taught where they can go out to the highway and byway and call in CEOs, bishops, whatever the case, the laws where Jesus has sent them. So I agree with you 100%, but they still, when the Lord sent them into the body of Christ, they need to be taught and structured. And if they sit in the congregation long enough, and you need to have a witness team up and running in everybody's church, and you need to have a leader and assistant to operate so that your people can go out, and you know they got a manual. I wrote witness manual. They got a manual. They look at it. They know just what the procedures are, and they know what other people believe besides us. So I thank you for that, and that's a blessing. So I'm just praying if the pastors or the bishops or anybody heard this broadcast today that the Lord will touch their heart to set up a team in their church. Pray my strength. And the word was a blessing. God bless you.
Amen.
Well, the word bless you. We love you. We appreciate you making the sacrifice and coming and getting in on this series. It really touched my heart. So we're going to ask you for final remarks, and you can close us out with prayer. God bless you.
Okay, I can do that. I can do that. I really enjoyed my sister that just spoke a few moments ago, because that is the heart of Christ, to be able to communicate. Jesus was a great communicator. The people that he spoke to understood what he was saying. They might not have liked what he was saying, but they understood what he was saying because he was able to communicate to them on the cultural level that they could understand. And so I am a firm believer that if we get the knowledge of Scripture and take the knowledge of the Scripture and not our religious dogma, and let people know what the Bible truly says about a matter, nine times out of ten, you're going to be able to reach some. Even Paul didn't reach everybody, but you're going to be able to reach some. But you have to reach them on the level that they can understand. Paul went to the devout people of that area. He went to even the woman Lydia in the previous chapter, because I had to go back to 15 in order to get to 17. But the woman who was a seller of purple, we don't understand that color and the ability to produce that color material was an exclusive business proposition. She was a businesswoman beyond businesswomen who were able to reach high royalty. And so that woman received the gospel just like the – who was that other person? Oh my goodness, Peter had to go to his house, Cornelius. So we have to be able to present the gospel to people who are business people,
come on,
as well as to the down and out. And you can't go to business people screaming and hollering in their face, that is not their culture. But you have to be able to persuade them of who Jesus is by you understanding, you know, what you're saying, first off, and to be able to present that to them. So I just love the Lord. I do. I'm good. My feelings ain't hurt. I ain't offended. Nothing. I'm just cool as a cucumber. And I love Jesus. And I love everybody that's on this line. I do. I can understand everybody's point of view. And I'm just thankful to Jesus for this opportunity. So let's pray. And we're going to go the rest of the day and be a blessing wherever we are. Father, right now again, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We give that to you in the name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. For the word of God, Peter said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be aided, rescued, delivered, or set free. I thank you for the name of Jesus. I thank you for the power of his resurrection. I thank you for the blood that redeemed me from sin's curse and from sin's influence. I thank you, Father God, for the hope of resurrection even for my own life and for the life of every believer. I thank you, Father God, because the righteousness of God shall be manifested in the earth realm as we preach, declare, decree, bind the devil, and get folks out of sin. I believe it with all my heart. And I pray, Father God, that you will strengthen people like the evangelist Adrian Bernard and strengthen those who are on the line today, that they may be able to be even more effective in the areas where you sent them. Even as my precious sister goes to Louisiana, God, let the anointing of heaven rest upon her as she walks down the street. I pray, God, that you direct her who to talk to. Like, she might just want to take a walk, because God said take a walk, and somebody walks in her path, and she'll be able to lead them to Christ. Hallelujah. God, let everything that we do be a witness testimony of your greatness and your goodness and your glory. I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall always give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you, thank you. Well, we thank you all. We've been enjoying this series. I tell you, remember the celebration relocation is going to be held next Saturday after next, March 8th. And also, I'd like to invite you all again, those that are in the Northern and Southern California area, to come with us on Friday to Oakland for Girls Night in the Word with Pastor R.C. Blake of New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm looking forward to hearing this, thus say the Lord. So we thank you once again. I thank Father Charity. We were on a line and out of Detroit this morning, 3 a.m. Amen, I tell you. And them other, them had a host of people on the line praying. So I thank God for that. Amen. So I'm just, I done got lost a little bit, Pastor Bert, but you done talked so much, I'm on the wrong side of the the demonstration thing. Lord, have mercy. Lord, let me get gather my bearings. Amen. So I thank God for him. Continue to lift up Christ Redeeming Center. Pastor Burford Church is located at 2281 East Main Street. Amen. They're in Stockton, California. So if you're ever in the Stockton area, please pay him a visit. He will be certainly glad to see each and every one of you all. So we bless you. Tomorrow, Minister Democrat will be ministering for us. Call in early, as we're getting off early today. Call in early, and we'll be able to get started and get you out of here. Amen. So everybody have a beautiful day. Once again, thank God for our co-host, Sister Ruby. God bless you. Give my love to your wife, Dr. Burford.
All right, I will. Thank you so much.
Amen. Don't be a stranger. Even though we're going to Louisiana, we're going to be on the same station. Amen. Nothing to change with the radio broadcast, okay?
Okay, that's good.
All right, all right. So you may be able to get a chance to meet a few of the listeners on next Saturday after next. You know, I try to draw everybody together. So God bless you all. We love you with the love of Christ. God bless us. Amen. Thanks again.
Oh, God bless.
On out.
Okay. I'm Just a Nobody by the Williams Brothers. That's about
walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old idol, sitting on the street, telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and welcome him back. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about some guy who can trade anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can trade anybody. And he said, I've had so many couldn't beat a lip. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street, telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all say, follow me and say, I'm a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Yes, he can save the lost sheep. Oh, we can save the lost soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. And in many ways I feel just like an old man, born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, mama and daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody, nobody. I'm just a nobody, about somebody who can save me. Sometimes I feel just like nobody, just like nobody.
Nobody trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. God bless. Have a blessed evening. We'll hope to see you tomorrow.